I appreciate, again, this opportunity, and I appreciate my colleague's responses, and I appreciate the spirit in which he responded. I would like to continue through my slideshow, and then at the end of this, I will go ahead and try to address my colleague's questions and complaints. Let's begin. The tragedy of divorce. Okay, I talked about marriage at the beginning. I want to talk specifically about divorce in this series of slides. When a man takes a wife, marries her, it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her. And he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. This is Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And I think this helps us to biblically define divorce. What is it biblically defined? Per Moses' law, only men were permitted to divorce. Secondly, one has to be married to be divorced. That follows. And the husband finds some indecency. It's very hard to define what that means exactly. The word literally means nakedness or some excrement. I imagine it could cover a multitude of behaviors. It says the husband writes a certificate of divorce. The husband puts the certificate in her hand, sends her out from his house. And she receives permission to become another man's wife. This is probably the text that has the most to say about divorce in the Bible. This is the law of Moses, and this has been repealed. We're only using this to try to understand the nature of divorce as God sees it. Let's continue to read in Deuteronomy 24, 3 and 4. If the latter husband turns against her and writes her certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends it out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then the former husband sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, since she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. You should not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. I wonder if you can see how this law elevates women from before the law was given in the patriarchal age. Now, part of the curse, Eve's curse, a part of that curse is that her desire would be for her husband and that he would rule over her. And Hebrew very literally says that he would dominate her. It's not a command to dominate, but it is God saying, because of this sin prophetically, this is what's going to happen. He's going to dominate you. And women certainly were. It's almost immediately in the patriarchal age, we're confronted with bigamy and polygamy and divorce. We're confronted with a number of sexual sins that affects the marriage. So putting away without recourse was already occurring. Leviticus 21, 7, 14, chapter 22, 13, Numbers 39 talks about where women were already being put away before Deuteronomy 24 was ever given. I just want to establish that divorce wasn't first thought of and created in Moses' day. It was happening in the patriarchal age. It's probably happening right away. This law was not given in a vacuum, in other words. It was given with the backdrop of women being mistreated by their husbands, being used like property and discarded at a moment's notice and another taken on. But with this writ, with this Deuteronomy 24 law, the marriage is ended. The second marriage can occur without accusation of infidelity, without this document. In Moses' day, if she goes out, having been just put away, he just drives her out like Abraham did Agar, and she goes and becomes the wife of another man, and she's probably going to, simply because it was almost a death sentence for a woman, because she was so mistreated and so treated like property, not to have the protections and to be able to be taken care of by a man, and she's going to need to have children to take care of her in her old age. So she would have desired, but without a certificate in her hand, to legally and judiciously show that she actually is not the wife of her first husband. He could show up and say, "What are you doing with my wife?" And he could sue to have her killed even. So this you know, could lead to a death sentence. This also caused a woman to not be forced to becoming a gold digger. I think this is funny. But under this law, if a young couple got married, the husband got an idea. And he said, "See old Shimon over there? Looks like he's about 115. Rich old codger. We'll divorce. And you can go marry old Shimon. And you get maybe some of that inheritance after he kicks off. And then we'll remarry." No, according to Deuteronomy 24, there's no remarriage. Not to that first spouse. As a matter of fact, God said that would be an abomination. So that's going to check that kind of abuse. And a husband can't use her in that way. He cannot cast off his wife, only later to demand sexual privilege. He gets in an argument, says, "Get out here, I never want to see you again." She says, "Well, I've got to go. Got to go. He's kicked me out. He's pushed me out. And I'm going to go and try to find somebody else that's going to care for me and take care of me." He can't, change his mind in a couple of weeks and return to her and demand upon her sexual privileges if she has that writ of divorce. The law checks rash marriage breaking in anger. And just get mad and say, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," and it's done. Just kick her out. A man's going to have to check his anger, to check himself, because he's got to consider, if I give her this certificate of divorce and she does go and become another man's wife, I can never have her back. So I better be careful about my anger and get it in check. Note that once a woman was divorced and put away and becomes the wife of another, she can never rejoin the original covenant. Never. To do so was great sin. What some call repentance, God called an abomination. Divorce terminology. The biblical Hebrew term for divorce is kerithuth. It's consistently translated as divorce or divorcement throughout what we call the Old Testament. Its equivalent in Koine Greek is the term apostasion. It is also consistently translated divorce or writ of divorcement. These speak of the bill of divorcement, a legal document without which there is no judicial standing nor protection. Without the certificate, there was no divorce. She was simply put away. Speaking of put away and send away, there are a couple of Hebrew words used in relation to marriage breaking, though they are rough equivalents to the term put away. One is shalach, and that means to send out, send away. The other is gerash, that means to drive out. That's what Abraham did to Agar. He drove her out. Also, you find two Koine Greek terms. The first being apaluo, which means to release, put away, or send away. And the second being aphaeme, which means to leave or to send out. Why do I mention this? Because sadly, some translations occasionally, and I believe erroneously, translate these terms divorce instead of sending away or putting away. Koine Greek term apaluo is the equivalent of the Hebrew word shalach. This is seen in the fact, and my colleague quoted this, that Jesus used the word for apaluo when quoting Deuteronomy 24, where the word shalach first appeared. And here's what he said. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her certificate of divorce. Send his wife away in Hebrew is shalach, but in Koine Greek is apaluo. So Jesus used them interchangeably. Also, certificate of divorce, kerithuth in Hebrew. He quotes it here using the term apostasion. All that to say this, putting away and divorce are not synonymous. They don't mean the same thing. That's where a lot of our issues come from and why we can't get together on this subject matter. This single error is called the lion's share of confusion in the verses surrounding marriage and divorce. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. If putting away and divorce are synonymous, then this statement becomes redundant. Divorce her and give her a certificate of divorce. Based on Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, there's no permission to put away one's wife without a certificate of divorce. The two cannot refer to the same act. And by the way, when Jesus spoke, for example, the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't speak in a vacuum either. This was still the law that governed the people of Israel that day. King James Version of the Bible translates the Hebrew word shalach, send away, 847 times without ever using the word divorce. Now, if you'd like to see citations, I have copies here where I've cited all of this work. So I would like for you to see that because I'm making some statements here that you may not want to accept. Gerash, to drive out, is translated divorce 3 times out of 47. This is in the King James Version of the Bible. Koine Greek word aphaeme, or leave, is never uses the word divorce in 146 instances. Never. And apaluo, to put away, is translated divorce 1 time in 69 appearances, the King James Version of the Bible. And it's here, Matthew 5:32. I quote the King James, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away apaluo, his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, whoever shall marry her that is divorced. Also apaluo. So even in the same verse, the same Greek term is translated 2 different ways. Once put away and once divorced. But these words are not synonymous. That's a problem. We should have some consistency. Now, the American Standard Version of the Bible, Young Literal Translation of the Bible, is very consistent in this translation, and there are others. And I think they're correct. If we will do this, if you will practice this, you can see the scripture with new eyes. Isaiah 15, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, where's the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away? Jeremiah 3, 8. And I saw for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her rid of divorce. See, they're not the same. They're not the same. It's 2 different acts. Send away and give her a certificate of divorce. Now, God was careful to do that. Did you know this? We serve a God who's been through a divorce. Did everybody know that? We serve a God who's been through a divorce. Here's your text. Also, this is the only place in Scripture where an example of divorce is recorded. Now, I'm using the divorce, I believe, in a literal way. But we have an example of someone putting away their wife and giving them a certificate of divorce. This is the only place that's used. It's between God and Israel. Other separations, such as Abraham and Agar, were putting away alone with no certificate of divorce. Easter over out. What about Malachi 2:14? Did he say wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed in your spirit that ye not deal treacherously. But what's it say? It says she's your partner. Now, if that word should be translated divorce, Think about it. If she had been divorced and then married, the law would have forbidden the husband of her youth to take her back, right? If you get divorced and remarried, can't go back. And Malachi couldn't demand that. He'd be in violation of the law of Moses. The fact is she cannot marry another because she's still legally married. She's only put away. The divorce has not been given to her, and God said, you've dealt with her treacherously in doing this. It was abusive. Have you heard it said that God hates divorce? It's not what the text says. The text says God hates putting away. The text does not say that the Lord hates divorce. Why would the Lord hate that which He ordained? He gave Deuteronomy 24, and they were still living under that law. Why would He hate the bill of divorcement which He gave? He ordained it. What He hates is putting away. He hates putting away and driving her out with no legal protection, no judicial protection. You're out of here. And then He can abuse her in several different ways. Look at this scripture, Matthew 5:32. I say unto you that whosoever shall put away, that's apoluo, his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced, that's apoluo again, should be put away, committed adultery. You'll notice in the ASV version, it's very consistent in how it translates put away in both places, because it's the same Greek word. The traditional interpretation of this text has a woman divorced for a cause other than fornication, becoming guilty of adultery, though she's the innocent party. Fornication wasn't the cause. She's still an adulterer. No exceptions are made for abandonment or abuse. This theology flatly denies what the law allows. Even the law, as dominated as women were under the law, even the law allowed for her abuse. If your husband under the law of Moses diminished your food, clothing, ladies, your food, clothing, your sexual privilege, a writ of divorce was issued by the rabbis. The husband's hand was forced. She was divorced and put away. The literal interpretation represented by the ASV shows the true nature of the sin. She's put away without the protection of a legal document. She cannot marry again because she's still legally married. To do so would be bigamy. It's an issue of legality that Jesus was addressing. Matthew 19:9. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away apoluo, his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, commits adultery, and whosoever marries her which is put away, apoluo again, commits adultery. How about Luke 16:8? Whoever putteth away his wife and marries another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband, commits adultery. Notice here, no bills of divorcement. No apostasion, only apoluo. Why is it adultery? In every case, the new marriage is sin because no divorce has been given in violation of the law of Moses. The first pair are still legally married. He said unto them, whosoever shall put away apoluo his wife, marry another, committeth adultery against her. If a woman shall put away apoluo her husband, be married to another, she committeth adultery. Roman women, by civil law, were permitted to put away their husbands. Yet Jesus condemns the practice without a divorce. It was his will. Last slide. How about the exception clause? And I say to you, whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, the exception clause, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marries her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. When Deuteronomy 24 speaks of some indecency, we know that this does not refer to adulterous fornication. These both men and women were publicly executed per Deuteronomy 22:22. Law only allowed divorce of a chaste wife. Since the Jews could not execute their adulterous fornicators anymore. See John 18:31, where that's stated plainly. They had lost the right to execute by capital punishment their adulterous fornicators. Jesus then states the exception clause. The adulterous fornicator was to be put away with no right to remarry and no protection of a spouse. This is in lieu of death. It applied to the one and only reason to ever put away, not the one and only allowance for marriage. Now, I'd like to just take, I just have about 3 minutes. I'd like to address some of my colleagues' questions. Levirate marriage was repealed. Why? Because it was given in Deuteronomy 25:5-10. It occurred in the patriarchal age, but it was issued by Moses. And the law of Moses was repealed. And my hermeneutic stands based on the levirate marriage. Secondly, 2 Chronicles 33:8 says the whole law was given to Moses. We're talking about the law of Moses. We're not talking about every single thing that's written from Genesis 1 to the last verse of Malachi. We're talking about the law of Moses that was repealed by Jesus at the cross. The whole law was given to Moses. Not given a little bit to Moses and some to David and some to others. The whole law given to Moses. Paul proves that out in Romans chapter 5 when he says that we are still engaged in Abraham's covenant. My colleague said that everything has been repealed in the patriarchal age. I guess including the covenant God made with Abraham that we'd be saved by faith, which was precisely Paul's argument to the Romans. We're still under that covenant. It was rolled together within the covenant of Christ. We're saved by faith today, just like Abraham. We trust God, and we act on that trust. Again, I would like to reiterate that homosexual marriage was never marriage. We don't have to forbid it because we don't have to recognize it. So I don't have a problem. I don't have to go and say, don't do it. I just, it isn't real. It was never instituted by God. It is a civil issue, that and nothing else. But the sin is the sexual contact. We have plenty of scriptures to deal with that. God recognizes second marriages, even polygamous ones. That's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm not defending polygamy. I just want you to understand that even in less than ideal situations, God recognized second marriages. Didn't approve of them. My opponent seems to think that I believe somehow, some way, that like with David and Bathsheba, that God approved of it. I didn't say he approved of it. I said he recognizes it. He recognizes it. We disagree on God's binding the marriage between believers and unbelievers. I don't believe God brought that together whatsoever. He said, don't do it. Why would he bind it? Don't do it. But he does recognize those marriages, doesn't he? It's against his will. He doesn't approve of it. He said, don't do it. But when we sin, God recognizes us, warts and all. I wanted you to look quickly. I don't have time. I'll come back to it. David and Bathsheba. He said it's a legal marriage because Uriah was killed. So I wonder, is what he's saying is if I get involved in somebody else's marriage and I break them up through an adulterous relationship and I destroy that marriage, is what he's suggesting is that I can't then, you know, divorce my spouse and then divorce their spouse and reform that marriage in a way that God recognizes and honors unless I kill her former husband? Thank you.